For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the story goes like this. Evidently, over the weekend, people went and found where Samuel Alito lives and, decided that they wanted to protest out in front of his house and let him know what they thought of his leaked memo. Evidently, this gave him the jitters, and it's been reported that they are in an undisclosed location. Got to wonder if it's the bunker Trump used or that they rushed him away into. Now, equally interesting to me, and this is one of those things I just find quite amusing. Immediately, our system in the Senate seemed to be jumping into action. We can't solve health care. We can't solve education crisis. We can't build infrastructure. We can't get, things. We can't seem to do anything in the Senate. But John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, they have already introduced a bipartisan piece of legislation called the Supreme Court Police Parity Act, because we're going to protect the Supreme Court justices. Here's an idea. How about don't overturn 50 years of decided law and take rights away from people? Maybe just a thought. Here to share some thoughts on the Roe versus Wade interesting story and maybe where is Alito? We'll play Where's Waldo now. I've asked Dr. Allison Gill to come talk with us. One of my favorite podcasters. She is the folks who bring us the Mueller She Wrote podcast. Also the fabulous Daily Beans podcast. Both you can find over at mswmedia.com and all of the other great offerings there. Allison, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me.
So the Alito underground, thoughts?
Somebody tweeted, everyone pray for Alito and his family. And I said, I will not. Not that I wish harm upon anyone. I do not. But after you put out that type of a decision, we were expecting this, right? We've been expecting,
of course,
this. What I was not expecting was the reasoning behind overturning Roe to be as primitive and horrible as it was. Women didn't have rights when the Constitution was written, so they shouldn't have rights now.
Seriously? Kind of... Hold on. Stop right there. You seriously didn't think they would say that? The people who brought us the original intent? These are the people who want to go back to, three-fifths of a person. These are the people who outwardly say they are original intentists. They want to undo everything that has been done because that wasn't the original intent. I guess I wasn't surprised.
They never come right out and say that we don't want it. Just white Christian men should have rights. They always couch it in some sort of other buffery language. And I thought that that's what we were going to see. Whether it's Trump's bunker or, first of all, I kind of don't understand why people are having a problem with folks protesting on a public street, peacefully assembling and redressing their grievances to the government, which are two of the five freedoms in the First Amendment, one of which Amy Coney Barrett forgot when she was asked by Ben Sasse for the five freedoms of the First Amendment. She forgot the redress and protest freedom there. To peaceably assemble on a public street. Now, maybe we could ask Gretchen Whitmer or Dana Nessel how they feel about that type of thing. And I'm not going to weigh in on whether or not I think it's appropriate, because I'm still reeling from the decision itself, honestly. Right.
So tell me, you know, look, I've been going off about this because I see this as taking a future away from my daughters. Now my daughters are hopefully years away from having children or thinking about families or any of that. But, you know, as someone who's your age, who looks at this, you know, what does this mean to you?
Well, sometimes we don't have a choice. Sometimes we don't consent to sex. And what, you know, when I was in the military, that, as you know, is what happened to me. And had I been in a red state with Roe overturned, I wouldn't have been able to travel to a state that allowed abortion to seek abortion access. I would have been forced to carry my rapist's baby to term while also dealing with the PTSD that comes along with military sexual trauma. That terrifies me and re-traumatizes me. But I am in this particular fight at this particular time. I have reproductive privilege because I cannot get pregnant. So my thoughts are with every other woman in the United States right now, especially in the states that will have trigger laws that not only ban abortion, but in some cases make it homicide or a murder, or they're going to try to, you know, force you to take a pregnancy test to travel or to leave the state. The concern here is not just this particular removal of our right to bodily autonomy. That's enough in itself. That's enough in and of itself. But all the other rights that didn't exist prior to the last 100 years also being at risk based on this decision.
Now, you know, you're telling your story, I'm thinking about Gene Schmidt, the Republican legislator from Ohio, who said that your situation would have been an opportunity. I'm curious, you know, when you hear that, did you think of that as an opportunity? And how do you, I don't know how to ask that question, but how do you think that would have affected you if you would have been forced to go through full term with that?
I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't be alive today. I barely made it through the PTSD, dealing with the coping with the PTSD from the assault. So if I had been forced to give birth, and not just forced to give birth, but forced to give birth to my rapist's baby, I wouldn't be here today.
And this is the problem that we have with people who are making these decisions who don't understand or don't know. And look, I don't know what it's like. And as I've said before, I am not, I'm well past my childbearing years. In fact, I've never had any. But this is the one thing I definitely know is government shouldn't be the one making these policies. A bunch of old white guys making these policies should not be the way forward because we don't understand what it's like to be in your shoes. And it's horrible hearing what you went through. It's horrible. And I can't imagine my own daughters being in a position like that.
Right. Because, you know, a lot of the argument here is, well, it takes two, you know, you did the sex, you do the time. Right. And first of all, for me personally, that's not what happened, but that shouldn't be the only carve out. Your decision, your body. I mean, these arguments are 40 or 50 years old, you know, like, why do we have to have them again?
Yeah.
It's awful to even think about.
But the bigger part of this, Allison, is, you know, and as an old white guy, I look at this as, you know, I don't want someone to have control over my daughter's future. I want her to have the right of self-determination. And this is more than just about the abortion issue. This is about control. This is about someone controlling her destiny or their destiny in ways that they have no power over. And that's a struggle for me. While simultaneously, the people who are pushing this stuff down, literally down society's throat, are doing nothing to want people to bring children into this world. We have no maternity leave. We have no health care. We have education that's not that great. And for women in poverty, forget about it. We do nothing to help them. And look, I'm somebody who grew up in poverty. I know what it's like to live in poverty with a single mother. I know how hard it is. Don't want that for people, especially if they don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And that's the hardest part is the helplessness aspect of it. Which is something that I think a lot of women are familiar with kind of already. But this just takes it to a whole other level. The leak is not the story, but I'm very interested to know who put this out and why.
I have a theory. My theory is it was definitely someone on the conservative side who saw Alito's repudiation of Roe as the what they wanted, and they didn't want anyone to walk it back, so they threw it out there to make that the goalpost. And to ensure that Roberts or anyone else didn't have the ability to soft pedal this for another day. That's my view. I'm curious what yours is.
I have the same view, that there was somebody who's close to the court, the conservative court, that was upset that there were deliberations that happened after that February 10th Alito decision was written, deliberations indicating that maybe Roberts might try to get Kavanaugh or Barrett or Gorsuch to come over and vote with the liberals and him to maintain, to keep Roe and Casey in place, but maybe still have the 15-week ban, which would still throw it to the states to put bans on stuff. But that was our best case scenario, really, that we could come out with in this decision. And I think somebody was really upset about those deliberations and watering down the Alito decision. And whoever leaked this wants that Alito decision to be the decision and the actual ruling as it's written. And there is somebody who is close to the court that is close to conservatives on the court that actually has a history of leaking SCOTUS deliberations.
Yeah, and she had a direct line into Trump and, you know, very well known in conservative crazy circles. So it wouldn't surprise me a bit if she was the one who did it.
No, and Nina Totenberg even said back in 2012, when court deliberations for the Affordable Care Act were leaked to the press, Nina Totenberg said, well, it could be a justice, it could be a clerk, or it could be the spouse of a justice. That's a very specific accusation for someone like Nina Totenberg to be making. And that, of course, as you can probably have guessed by now, it was Ginni Thomas who did that. And she was angry at what the court was deciding, the deliberations that were happening to uphold the Affordable Care Act in 2012. And so she leaked it and that information to the press. And now we've got reports of somebody very close, conservative person, very close to the court, who's now talked to the Wall Street Journal and the Post, saying that spilling the beans that Roberts was thinking of defecting from Alito's decision. There's been deliberations. The February 10th Alito decision is obsolete now. And there's been talks of softening it a little bit. To go back to the beginning of our conversation of what I originally expected there to be coming out of this court. And also, it doesn't make any sense for an angry liberal person, an angry liberal clerk to leak this, because they would have leaked it back in February. And I also don't think it's a distraction from the 1-6 hearings, because the decision was going to come out in June no matter what. And that's when the hearings are. So I don't think it's that. It really only helps the conservatives in the sense that, just like you said, Rick, whoever leaked this wants to lock in this particular decision, make it very hard to back away from. And because if anyone backs away from this, they're going to become a target of the right.
And maybe they're going to need the security parity, the Supreme Court Police Parity Act, and not from angry women. but from crazy right-wing militia types on the extreme right. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Dr. Allison Gill, podcaster extraordinaire. Make sure you check out her podcast, Mueller, She Wrote, and the Daily Beans pod. You can see those at mswmedia.com. We'll get links out on social media on how you can do that. I kind of want to finish this up by looking at, sadly, where this could take us, because I don't know that they're going to be able to soft pedal this much. And even if they do, it's still going to mean my daughters, their right to self-determination is going to be harmed. And they're going to probably sadly end up having to deal with a lot of things that my mother's generation and prior had to deal with. And, you know, I don't know that my daughter's generation really understand what their grandmothers went through. The idea that they couldn't get their own bank account, they couldn't get their own credit card, they couldn't drive, they couldn't do anything without a man's consent. And a lot of it came out of this, you know, shotgun wedding kind of stuff. Oop, got pregnant, now you got to get married kind of stuff. Do you foresee that being reality, or is that hyperbolic?
No, I don't think it's hyperbolic at all, because we've been pushing this rock up the hill since the 70s, right? And even earlier than that. And to have it all of a sudden back down at the bottom of the hill, it would be like if a 13-year-old woke up tomorrow and there was no internet, you know, but now it's got to do, it's like that shocking, but now it's got to do with having control over your own life. It's, I don't think you're being hyperbolic at all.
Because, you know, I had a conversation with a young woman the other day, and she's like, well, we'll figure out a workaround. You know, we can get the plan B. We can do all these other things, because there's a sense of empowerment that women today have that I don't think they understand what this ruling could mean. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
That they don't understand it until they live it?
Yeah, this sense of empowerment that they think that they're going to be able to work around it. That I'll just go to another state, or we'll figure it out kind of mentality, as where I'm going, no, this is horrible. This is bad. There aren't workarounds. There isn't going to be an underground railroad with technology. We find out now there are companies that can track your movements and find out who spent how long at Planned Parenthood and all of this stuff. This is not good.
Well, yeah, and we saw that with voting rights, didn't we? It was... We have to pass voting rights, but let's also prepare in case we can't, or we don't, or Manchin, which is generally usually the road problem. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with doing everything you can to keep Roe in place and fighting this and going out in the streets, because we do actually have now a non-zero chance to change a Supreme Court decision. We've never had this before. It's a very, very slim chance. And I think the leak was designed to keep the decision in place, but we now know a decision before it's official and can make noise. I think we could also vote in the next election and get enough people in the Senate that are willing to carve out the filibuster or kill it completely so that we can codify Roe. But this was the same thing with voting rights. I think we can do both. I think we can fight our butts off, but also prepare. We don't want to be unprepared when that rock is all of a sudden at the bottom of the hill again.
Yeah, last question I've got for you. You know, as a man, like I said, this isn't my issue. I'm never going to have an abortion. Not my thing. Personally, I would never have one. But, you know, I've never been in anyone's position that I can say that definitively. How do we help without making things worse?
Exactly what you're doing. Preparing to thank you very much for the support and being an ally, and to fight with us, honestly, I think there's no ambiguity in what side you should be on, right? Everyone's like, oh, there's gray areas. No, there's not. It's not about when you think someone should have an abortion, or if you think abortion is right. It's whether or not you think somebody should have the decision to decide their own, you know, the power to decide their own future, or whether the government should decide it for them. And so it's a pretty clear, stark line. So as long as you're on the other side of the line fighting with us, help vote, find other people to vote. get out the vote is the number one thing I think you can do, and then and hit the streets with us when the protests come up. You know, be there for us.
Yeah, let's hope those start soon. Allison, I appreciate the time. Good stuff as always. Hope folks will check out the podcasts. Great stuff you do there, the Mueller She Wrote and the Daily Beans pods. You can find those at mswmedia.com. Allison Gill, thanks so much.
Thank you for everything you do, Rick.
Great stuff. Well, let's take a quick break. I want to come back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1972. That was the day that employees at the Ferro Manufacturing Company went out on strike. The company was one of the top producers of men's and boys' pants in the country, and the second largest employer in El Paso, Texas. The majority of workers were Chicano. More than 80% were women. These workers worked long hours for low wages and were required to meet a high quota demand. In the late 1960s, some of the male employees began to discuss their working conditions and what they could do to change things. One employee remembered the early days of organizing sometimes happened after softball games between the teams of workers from the different departments in the plant. We'd sit around after the game and talk about these things and the union. Men working in the cutting room voted to affiliate with the Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America. Workers from the San Antonio plant came to El Paso to support the union effort. These workers were fired. In response, 500 El Paso workers walked off the job. They demanded the right to have a union. Soon, more than 3,000 Ferro employees went out on strike. The strike cause won the support of the Roman Catholic bishop in El Paso, who supported a boycott against Ferro pants. The AFL-CIO called for a boycott. The campaign against Ferro soon spread across the country. Even though the company brought in scab replacement labor, the effort to get a union continued. The fight wore on until March of 1974, when the National Labor Relations Board found in favor of the employees who had been fired. Unionization had come to Ferro. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's one of those things that you hear stories like Allison's, and it's heartbreaking. And I can't even begin to imagine. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm working on it. What's on your mind?
I know the feeling. What I wanted to say was a couple of things. Number one, you have to just shake your head. You know, Alito, he's going back to the 1600s using this man who absolutely hated everyone. He burnt witches. He assumed, well, his idea was, you know, women basically were evil and they were to be controlled at all times. Okay. And so you're bringing that in into the 21st century. And the second thing, they all seem to forget that the founding fathers did not want a religion to be involved in people's lives, meaning by the government or laws. And because they knew what had gone on. You had the Protestants and you had the Catholics that were fighting at the time that, you know, we founded our nation. And it depending on which country you were in, if you were a Catholic and in a Protestant nation, you got burnt. And if you were a Protestant in a Catholic nation, you got burnt. And everybody hated the Jews. The pagans were all underground. And they didn't like the Muslims. This original intent, they revise everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go use history, let's be accurate, for God's sakes. Let's not make up stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And second of all, the second thing is, they're telling me, well, this is what God says. It's the Christianity. Well, Christianity is based on the Jewish religion. It's an offshoot. And in the Jewish religion, even in the Bible, it specifically states in Leviticus, if you look, that you're not a person until you take your first breath and you live for 30 days. But hey, you know what? I guess you just got to make it up as you go along.
Yeah. What do you think of Amy Coney Barrett? What do you think of Amy Coney Barrett's phrase, domestic supply of infants?
If that reminds me of, well, you know, that's what the Nazis did. The Nazis, and I know this, the Nazis had a breeding program where they had their little Aryan race people. They would come in for a weekend or two, have a little fling. She would get pregnant. She would get paid, have a baby, and they would give it up for adoption to someone. And in the meantime, the Nazis would go in into the Slavic countries, and they would steal children and adopt them out. They did it in Poland, Hungary, all of them. If the kids had blonde hair and blue eyes, is this not human trafficking, or am I confused?
Well, they do talk about groomers an awful lot, do they not?
Oh, they absolutely do.
There you go.
And, you know, everything they accuse everybody else of, they're doing it. But you have a good evening, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Alice. That phrase, domestic supply of infants, stuck in my head all day today. And I couldn't help but marry it up to the guy I know who wears this Christian warrior shirt all the time. They just seem, I don't know, just seem to fit together in a way that is really frightening. And that's why, again, I was against having that Amy Coney Barrett on the court. And again, another reason why you look at the Trump era, going to be remembered as a really, really bad time in our country's history for a whole bunch of reasons, the court being one of them. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe and share, comment, do all that stuff. Also email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back after this.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.